everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show as we wrap up the 10th anniversary week of the Buckmaster Show. That means we are into this week, week 11 of the program, right here on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening and podcast for the show at buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, for this Friday, January 8th, 2020. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our media partners, Friday, we like to do a big shout out to our friends in the media. TucsonSentinel.com have been with us pretty much, well, I know they have, the whole 10 years of our radio run, along with Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Thanks to all of those folks. Well, at 10:10 this morning, bells rang out at the historic Pima County Courthouse in downtown Tucson, marking the 10-year remembrance of the Tucson shooting tragedy that claimed 6 lives and wounded 13 others, including then Congresswoman United States Representative Gabrielle Giffords and former Congressman Ron Barber, who at the time was the director for Congresswoman Giffords. Congressman Barber, who is now the district director for United States Representative Ann Kirkpatrick, is also president of the January 8th Memorial Foundation that raised money for the memorial that is expected to open to the public early next month. That memorial is just west of the historic courthouse in the El Presidio Park. The memorial is titled Embrace, and it tells the story of the lives lost and the people wounded at the hand of a gunman at Congresswoman Giffords' Congress on Your Corner event outside a Safeway store on Tucson's northwest side. Let's go now on the Buckmaster Show live line to our conversation with Congressman Ron Barber and Sarah Garrett Gasson, the opinion page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, how are you, first of all?
I'm doing okay on this difficult day.
Yeah, it is a very difficult day. Ron, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, it's always a tough day when we have the anniversary, particularly today as the 10th anniversary. But we did have, as you mentioned, Bill, a ceremony downtown today at the memorial. And it was, I think, very moving. We are very grateful for the people who helped put together the video. Pima County government had a video that they showed after we live streamed the ceremony. It was very, very touching. Just one thing, Bill, I'm moving on. I have moved on, actually, from my job with Congresswoman Kirkpatrick, and I'm now the Southern Arizona director for Senator Mark Kelly. So new job, new time.
All right. Thank you for noting that, Ron. And, you know, Ron and Sarah, I had this feeling, you know, that kind of that gut punch. I'm sure you understand where I'm going with this. I had that feeling Thursday morning after yesterday, after a very troubled night watching what we saw at the Capitol. And then I had that same feeling the day after the assassination attempt on Gabrielle Giffords. I'm sure you know where I'm going with this, Sarah, right?
Yes, I do.
How about you, Ron?
Yes, I do understand that, absolutely.
Sarah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it's so upfront and current and present, I think, for so many people in Tucson, even though it has been 10 years. And to see any sort of interference with our government, with how public officials, their safety, I think it's impossible to ignore that sort of those parallels, even if the details are different.
Ron, we'll come back to that, but right now I want to talk a little bit about the memorial. Embrace the pictures I've seen of it, the video I've seen. Congratulations, kudos to you and the design team. I think it's done in a very tasteful manner. I think it's very uplifting, what I've seen. Give us your thoughts about how this all came about, Ron Barber.
Sure. Well, in 2012, just about a year after the shooting, a few of us got together and established a foundation, which was set up to raise funds for the memorial. And so we got to work. I had to actually leave the board of the foundation for a couple of years since I was in Congress. And when I came back, I continued my involvement. But an important part of the story is how the board of foundation went about designing the memorial. The first meetings we had, of course, were with the survivors and the families of the victims, those who were killed, to get their ideas about it. Should we have one? If so, what should it look like? And we had a series of meetings like that. But then we broadened it to include other groups of people in Tucson who we thought should be at the table. Most notably, there are a lot of people who have very fond involvement with the El Presidio Park downtown, people who have put memorials there to others, mostly to soldiers and veterans. And then we brought in students. We asked them about it in terms of the educational opportunity it presented. And we went to the Teo Nation, for their input, since that's really their land. And when all of that was wrapped up, we ended up with a design that really, I hope, represented everybody that we spoke to and the people, of course, who were killed and wounded and their families and the first responders who came to our aid. So it was a process that took a few years before we actually said it was about raising the money for the memorial. We really started in earnest about 4 years ago to raise money after we had come up with some ideas about the design. And then in partnership with Pima County, we were able to raise enough money to get the thing started. Excuse me. And it's now finished, but not unfortunately available to the public because of the COVID pandemic.
You know, this symbolic embrace, and Sarah, your paper, the Arizona Daily Star, laid it out really nicely today in the on A10, actually, of those that still get the hard copy of the paper, like me. I've been getting a newspaper in this town delivered to my doorstep for 33 years. So there you go. I'm kind of an old timer there.
I'm with you, Bill. I love to see that paper in the morning. Sarah, that's my coffee time.
So
thank you. Thank you so much.
I wanted to talk a little bit about this. These symbols inspired by petroglyphs etched centuries ago by the Hohokam people. These are like figures that are laser cut from steel, and they represent the values and experiences of the 6 people killed and the 13 people wounded in the shooting. And Ron, let's talk about your, I've got here in front of me, it looks like 5 symbols, one of them disability rights, justice. There's the scale representing justice, the Celtic tree of life, the bass guitar. I can understand where you're coming with that, being a child, both of us, Ron, children of the 60s, and
right.
Your 5th symbol, the peace symbol. Yes. From the 60s. This is a really unique kind of aspect to this memorial.
Yeah, yes, it is. And the architectural team of Chief Salat presented their concept to us, to the board of the Memorial Foundation. There were 4 finalists, and they were one of them. We were so impressed with their design and the idea of the symbols that they obviously were given the contract to actually design the memorial and to build it with Chase building team. So the symbols, as you said, are really represent important things in the lives of those who were killed and those who were wounded. And in my case, you know, I reflected on my time with 32 years in the field of developmental disability services. and the importance of supporting people with disabilities to have full lives in our community. It also, the bass guitar, as you said, Bill, represents my love of music, as I always share.
Yes, we do.
On Facebook talking about music.
It's, oh, yeah.
Like I'm talking about myself, so it's all good. And then the peace sign, of course, as you said, was from the 60s. My work in that time was as a person who opposed the Vietnam War, and I wanted to make sure that was represented. So, yeah, everything on that wall, it represents, just as it does for me, the dreams, the aspirations, and the accomplishments of people who were killed and wounded that day. But in addition to that, there are two other sets of symbols that are really important to mention. One of them is a series of symbols that represent the first responders, the people who came to our aid, who saved lives that morning. They were with us, some of them, this morning when they the colors, the flags of the United States of Arizona at our ceremony. And then lastly, and most importantly in some ways, apart from the victims and survivors symbols, there are 32 lanterns surrounding the memorial. On each one of them, there is a symbol. Those symbols represent the information we gathered about the resilience of our region from the people who I mentioned earlier who were part of the design discussion. And so, obviously, one of the most important symbols is of the Tohono O'odham Nation and the Hohokam, as you mentioned. But they also represents the resilience of our region. This is a tough place to live, especially decades and hundreds of years ago. But people made it. They found a way to not only make it, but survive, succeed, be resilient. We wanted to make sure that that history was represented as well. So we look forward to having people come there. Obviously, it'll be a month or so before we can open it up to the public.
Sarah, join us here before we take our break and hear about Mona's Danish Bakery. Just some of your thoughts. I'd like to know your feelings about this design and generally the whole kind of the feeling, the tenor of the memorial.
I think it's, from what I have seen, and I have not seen it in person, but what I've seen, it's beautiful. I think it's interesting how we humans have a drive to memorialize important things and to kind of mark the events that shape our lives. I think this is an important place in Tucson. I think it will be an important place and hopefully a place where people can come and think about not only what happened, but how to go forward in a way that makes lives better for the community.
Sarah, I want to point out, you got me thinking on your column on the front page of the Star today about the word anniversary. And
yeah,
it's interesting because, as I said at the beginning of the program, Sarah and Ron, this is a really happy time this week for me personally from a professional point of view because we've done the radio show 10 full years. And so the word anniversary, I think, is very appropriate when we talk about the 10-year anniversary of the Bill Buckmaster Show. But it's not so appropriate when you talk about a 10-year anniversary of a tragedy.
Yeah, I think I kind of took my cue on that from Patricia Maish, who was there that day and was able to get more ammunition away from the perpetrator. She's taught me an awful lot about the language that we use, and she says that she marks the day. She doesn't, that because anniversary seems, as you said, something celebratory. So she uses marks, and she also uses perpetrator rather than the person's name or describing him as a shooter, because that gives connotes power. So perpetrator and marking the day.
All right, Ron and Sarah, stick around. We're going to take a break right here on the Buckmaster Show, hear from the great sponsors who have been with us. Many of these people, 10 years, they've been with us the whole 10-year run of when we started the program. One of our great sponsors is Mona's Danish Bakery. They are home of the Danish Kringle, and they're also home to my favorite blueberry muffin in town. Nobody does a blueberry muffin like Mona's, and my wife Ann brought home one for me yesterday, and I kind of took off the top. That's the way I start. I ate the top yesterday. Tom Fairbanks in the other room is describing how I consumed that, right? The top goes first, and then I saved the bottom for today before I came into the show. But Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner Swan and Sunrise, they're open right now for lunch. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back with Ron Barber and Sarah Garrett Gasson after this.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tushan International Airport. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our Buckmaster Show live line courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tucson shooting tragedy survivor, former Congressman Ron Barber on one of our live lines. The other live line was Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial opinion page editor for the Arizona Daily Star and columnist. Ron Barber is also the president of the January 8th Memorial Foundation that raised the money for the memorial that is entitled Embrace, and it will be open to the public hopefully very soon, maybe early next month, just west of the historic downtown courthouse in El Presidio Park. Ron, they say time is a great healer. Time, I don't know if it heals all, but it goes away to heal a lot of the pain. How are you doing physically, first of all, Ron Barber?
Well, I still have a problem with my leg, my left leg, where the bullet severed my vein and nicked the nerve, and I don't have any feeling below the knee, and I've got what they call a drop foot. So I use a brace, and I also use a cane to make sure I don't fall, because I've had a few falls with the problem. So that's the main physical issue. The emotional aspect, I don't think it ever goes away, Bill. You know, many of us, myself included, were diagnosed with PTSD following the shooting. What I've learned about that is that, you know, it never goes away. You just learn how to manage it. And for me, having been diagnosed, it was important to use the platform I had as a member of Congress to talk about the importance of mental health services for people with all kinds of issues, but particularly in this case with PTSD. We've got, you know, thousands of veterans with PTSD, about 22 of them kill themselves every single day. So I wanted to go out and talk about, you know, it's not the end of your life. You can have a productive life. You need to get help and treatment, as I did, and you can go on with a lot of things that you want to do. So that's kind of both mental and physical how things are going for me.
Legacy-wise, how do you look at this? As a legacy, do you think we've made some progress in helping people with mental health issues?
No, we haven't made sufficient progress at all. When I went to Congress, one of my first goals was to try to get funding for mental health services, and we just couldn't get it through. We were in the minority, and no matter how hard we tried, we just couldn't get it done. We were successful in getting some funding for what is called mental health first aid. It's a training program, kind of like you would get for CPR, only this has to help people who might come into contact with someone with a mental health issue, is maybe having some psychosis. It helps them know what to do, and we did get some funding for that. But the broader issue, millions of dollars, billions actually, over the last decade were cut from mental health services. They need to be restored, and we need to go further with that. I think there's great promise in the new administration, because when I was in Congress, I worked closely with then Vice President Biden, who was heading up President Obama's mental health task force, trying to get new ideas and funding. So I'm pretty convinced that that under his administration, we will see a change there.
Let's bring Sarah Garrett Gasson in from the Arizona Daily Star. Go ahead, Sarah.
I just want to comment that I've taken mental health first aid training. This was many years ago, but it was incredibly helpful. I think everyone who can possibly take it should take it. And I ended up using what I had just learned with like three different people over the course of the next week. So thank you, Ron, for all your work on getting that. And I encourage people to get the mental health first aid training whenever possible. With the
legacy piece, Sarah.
Yeah, sorry. The legacy piece. Yeah, I think, Ron, is it something, do you think that how does what happened and your path forward since then? Because as I recall, you would come out of retirement to work for Gabby, you know, back then. How does that, when you think of yourself, where does this fit with your self-image of who you are and what you're doing?
Well, thanks for that question. You know, my entire life, with very few exceptions, I've worked in private sector, a little bit in the publishing industry, but mostly my work and my life has been in public service, and I feel so strongly that that is a very appropriate and good place to be. And I think more and more people should do it. I'm glad that my children and my wife are all involved in the same kind of work. I believe that we're put on this planet to help others. And I think one of the most productive ways we can do that is by working in public service. And in my case, not only working in it, but eventually being elected to serve in Congress where we could help constituents. You know, that's really all what I'm all about. And I'm very, very pleased and honored that Gabby appointed me as her district director and then urged me to run for Congress. And now I'm back with the family as Senator Kelly's son there was under director. My wife says I'll never retire, and she's probably right.
I mean, it is amazing when you think about life's ironies that Gabby is now back in the Capitol.
Yeah.
Think about that, Ron, and some of your quick thoughts on that.
Sure. You know, I was very concerned on Wednesday when this terrible insurrection took place and wondering where Gabby was and Mark was, because they were both in D.C. And my former chief of staff, who was chief of staff for Mark, now Jim Cox. So I got through to them by text and found that they were all in safe and secure environments. But one of the things that I felt was really poignant came from Gabby. She sent out a message and she said, "Now I know what it must have been like, the effect of what it must have been like for Mark when he heard that the shooting had happened. He was in Houston and I was in Tucson. He had no idea whether I was alive or dead." And that's the same thing is true for my wife, who got the call that I was shot. So Gabby, I think, was pointing out that when something tragic, awful, violent happens to a friend, a relative, the people close to them go through tremendous agony and stress. And so I think Gabby was reflecting on how it felt on her side now to wonder where her husband was and whether he was safe. I wouldn't wish this kind of experience on anybody to understand those feelings, but I would ask people to think about it, because not only does it affect the people who are victims of shootings, it affects their families, their grandchildren. My grandchildren from time to time are still in counseling, dealing with what happened on January 8th. And so it affects the community, and we have a network, one that none of us want to be part of, a nationwide network now of thousands and thousands of people who have been affected by gun violence in our country. We understand what they're going through, and I would wish more and more people would think about that. If it were a call that your husband, your wife, your child, your relative was shot, just think about what you'd be going through, as Gabby went through just 2 days ago.
Ron, I would like you to reflect a little bit on the events that we saw with the insurrection at the Capitol, and that's what it was. These people are not patriots who broke into our Capitol. They're thugs. And I just wonder what was going through your mind. The images that I saw, and I'm now a little over 70, I never thought I would ever dream that I would see these kinds of images in the United States of America.
I think that many people would say the same thing. Let me just start by telling you that I'm an immigrant to this country. I came here when I was 15 from London with my stepfather and my mother. He was stationed at the Air Force Base, and that's how we got here. When I learned that we were going to the States when my mother married after my biological father died in the war, I learned we were coming to America, I was so excited. Even at 15, I had an image of the United States as a place where you could do anything. You didn't have to be in a certain class or an old school tie. You could be whatever you wanted to be. And I still believe that, although I know that for many people in our culture, that is not what's available. And I'm a strong believer that the American democracy is resilient. And boy, have we been tested for the past 4 years, and particularly on Wednesday. The only thing you can say is that this was an attempted coup, insurrection, sedition, all of those words that we've been hearing this week. It's absolutely the case. Five people are now dead. The Capitol was defiled. I looked at those pictures, those images of the people who were wrecking offices and turning over furniture and stealing things from the Capitol. Those were the offices, those were the halls that I walked in when I was there and when I worked for Gabby. And then I saw colleagues who I'd served with cowering under chairs in the gallery of the chamber as they were, as the chamber was being assaulted, and four men with guns drawn pointing at the window, which was broken as people were trying to get in. I was just beyond, it was unbelievable to me that this could happen in the pillar of our democracy, the people's house of all places. And so I feel terrible about it. I think, you know, we have a lot of work to do to repair the soul and the heart of,
you know, and Ron and Sarah, I'll just add,
believe differently.
Ron and Sarah, I'll just add my two cents here. No one is saying we're against people peacefully protesting.
Absolutely not.
That's not what we're saying here. But I'm saying is when those people who were at the Capitol, when they broke through police lines, they went over the line. And each of them should be prosecuted.
Absolutely.
Sarah?
Yeah. I think, and we had an editorial on Thursday morning that we posted early on Wednesday, just in response, because this was not a protest. Protest is expressing an opinion. It is criticizing or encouraging people to do one thing or another. It's a form of expression. Breaking into, vandalizing the U.S. Capitol and terrorizing the people inside is not protest. It's not patriotism. It's not an American thing to do. And it's just sort of at a loss for words. But I do wonder if, and this isn't going to come out right, and it's going to sound snarkier than I intend, but for people, so much of what people in America deal with gun violence, with other kinds of violence, with uncertainty, people, so many in power don't understand that from a very visceral level. So I was wondering, and I know I'm not the only one thinking along these lines, is that how will that experience change, if it does change, lawmakers' perspectives on things like public safety and those sort of issues? I mean, little kids have active shooter drills in their schools.
Let's hear what I want to hear what Ron, how he would respond to that. Because let's face it, not much has changed in the 10 years since our tragedy here in Tucson in gun laws, has it?
No, it hasn't. Not in the national level. I'm glad to say, however, that several states have taken action to enact what I call common sense gun laws. No one's talking about taking people's guns away. But we have to have more responsible ownership and background checks, I think, for everyone who buys a gun are essential. Magazine size, if the shooter in our case did not have a magazine containing 33 bullets, less people would have been hurt and died. But he did, and that has to be addressed. So there's a lot that we need to do to improve our laws and the safety of our community. I have grandchildren, four of whom are still in school. My oldest is getting ready to go to college. And I talked to them about lockdowns at their school. I was driving my second youngest granddaughter, home from school one day. And I said, "How you doing?" She said, "Oh, I had to go to the nurse today." And I said, "Really, why?" She said, "Well, they told me that if I'm ever scared because of what happened on January 8th, I could come in and talk to them." Mm. And today I was really scared. And I'm thinking, how many children are affected that way across our country because one of their family members has been harmed by gunfire? And so to me, it brought it home in a very vivid way. You know, as an adult, you know, you find a way to manage through. But the children are affected by this in the most profound manner. And when those young people march for their lives after the horror of the shooting in Florida at the school, I was so proud of them because they are going to change these things. It's in their hands that we will bring about a better and saner way of handling guns in our country.
Before we wrap this up, how can people get some more information about the memorial? And because of COVID, of course, there have been limits, I guess, on the opening date. What's the thinking on that?
Well, Pima County is putting together a website, and I'm not sure if it's exactly finished yet. I think it might be. On there's a bit information about why we built the memorial, how it was put together in terms of thinking and design, and also has an explanation of all of the symbols, a little bit of information about each symbol representing each person and so forth. So that's available or will soon be available online through Pima County government. And then, of course, we are going to have a time when people come. We'll have information available in both written and electronic form when they do arrive. And also, you know, the website for the January 8th Memorial Foundation is still active. It's a little bit dated now, but it will give you a sense of what the design was supposed to look like and what it actually does look like today.
All right, Ron Barber, we will let you go. And I thank you very much for joining us on this day. I know it's a very painful day still very much for you, but I appreciate you taking the time, Ron, to come on my program.
Thank you for your invitation. I really appreciate it, Bill, and all the best. Stay safe.
Thank you very much. And Sarah, please stick around through the break. I've got a few comments I'd like to hear from you on some things, and we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Our guests appear on our live line courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. More with Sarah Garrett-Gasson of The Star after this.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, let's go now to the home office of Sarah Garrett Gasson, opinion editor of Opinion Page, editor of the Arizona Daily Star, columnist for the Star, and the proud mama of Olivia the Wonder Dog. And I didn't hear Olivia during the Ron Barber interview. I'm kind of glad for that, but is the dog out of the room or where?
No, she's snoozing. If I had a better microphone, you could hear her snoring.
Oh boy.
But I do want to say that I have expanded my friends at home by three mice.
Three mice?
Yeah. Do you remember when Pima Animal Care Center put out the press release saying they had rescued 140 mice?
Yes,
that needed homes?
I do remember. And actually, I thought of you because you have had that affinity with the little ones before. So you did step up.
I did. I thought there would be a line at PAC. There was not.
Oh, yeah.
But I have taken home three lovely mice, and they're entertaining me daily and nightly because they're up at night too.
And they're not three blind mice. They're very much have their eyesight.
As far as I can tell.
All right. So what's coming up in the pit? What a week this has been, I'll tell you, huh?
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What's coming? By the way, I thought the column was right. It was right on the mark. You can still hear the pain in Ron Barber's voice. And as you have on the front page of the paper today, the Star, resiliency and kindness. And I'll tell you, these survivors have certainly had to be resilient for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been one of the things that sort of struck me as the years have gone on, is how many people who were touched by the mass shooting have gone into public or community service of some kind. And Ron touched on that a bit. So I write in today's paper, it's also online at Tucson.com, about kind of that phenomenon, what it means, where we are, and it seems, I know that you and I were on the radio.
Yes, we were.
In the very early days, and it was a difficult time,
very,
I think, for Tucson.
Very emotional, and kind of I keep flashing back to that first week of my radio show after 22 years on the TV, and all of this came down that first week, and we had Gabby in that inaugural week on the radio show. She was with us on Thursday, and I think from what I am told, it was the last broadcast interview that she did before the 48 hours later, the shooting. And then that Saturday, that Friday of the show for our radio roundtable, we had you, and I think maybe Dan Scheer was with us, but that was a very, very emotional day.
It really was. Yeah, and I think Tucson is, you know, we have a million people more or less here, but something like that really shows how much of a small town Tucson is in so many ways, because I met countless people who knew someone who was affected or was there or had been injured. And it seemed that everyone had sort of a personal connection to the people who were killed or injured. So it's something that, you know, I've heard people say, oh, it's, you know, it's time to move on, time to move on. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think you just say, and we're done. And you forget. And I don't think you should forget.
And there is that tendency. Yeah, we've got the memorial now, and let's move on and forget about it. But we should never forget about it.
No.
What's coming up in the Star on Sunday?
Well, on Sunday, we have the Arizona legislature starts its first regular session of 2021 on Monday. So we're publishing just kind of the who's who in our Southern Arizona legislators, their contact information, the committees that they're on, because I think we firmly believe in participatory democracy at the Arizona Daily Star opinion page. And so it's just sort of a public service, you know, let your lawmakers know what you think. Tomorrow we have an amusing and take from Fitz about what he imagines would happen if, God forbid, Donald Trump started a nuclear war, which is not funny, but in his Fitz way, he manages to make it. It's satire, and I think he does a good job with it. So that's coming out tomorrow.
All right, Sarah. You know, this has been this week, and it is the irony, as I pointed out to Ron. Ron's back with the family, with Gabby and Mark Kelly now, as Ron is the Southern Arizona district manager, representative for Mark Kelly. The irony of this is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it's sort of circular. It's come back around. And I think that I know it was very difficult for Gabby to make the decision to step down from her duly elected position as a U.S. representative representing a big part of Tucson. I know that was a really hard decision for her.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was a hard decision for Mark Kelly to decide to run for the Senate. But I think it's sort of come full circle.
It has. Life can do that full circle. Sarah Garrett Gasson, have a great new year. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your service and coming on our program for 10 years on the radio and a bunch of years with me on TV. Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Bye.
All right.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Here we go. Weekend Watch presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You can start your planning right now. I hope you do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org, so you'll be ready when New Mexico is once again ready to welcome you with open arms. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Lots to do. You'll find out all about the recreation opportunities and great places to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, longtime host, in fact, 10 years as we celebrate the Buckmaster Show, 10 years of Weekend Watch. Hello, Mr. Matt.
Happy anniversary, a decade of deliciousness on the Buckmaster Show.
Hey, you know, anybody in the mood for a nice steak, they think of the Peak.
They sure do. And, you know, and the Wild West returns there. The Pinnacle Peak Trail Dust Town on Tanque Verde for their series of Western stunt shows. Now, this weekend's socially distanced version of the show runs tonight, Saturday night, and Sunday night at 6:30 and 8:30. And I think those times are perfect because you can build dinner into your evening and easily make it to either show. Pinnacle Peak, of course, serves up all the classics. Barbecue fare, but for me, it's all about the mesquite-fired big cowboy. This is a porterhouse steak that is cut with the most carnivorous of cowboy in mind, tipping the scale at nearly 2 pounds.
Wow.
I call it Steaks and Stunts this weekend at Pinnacle Peak.
Well, that thing needs its own zip code, doesn't it? My gosh, 2 pounds. What's this about a new opening downtown?
Yeah, more creative thinking in the times of COVID has been spotted at Hotel Congress downtown with the recent launch of the Congress Bottle Shop. So this is an online spirituous marketplace that gives you the chance to shop for fine wines, spirits, and craft beer, even cocktail kits from the comforts of home, and then arrange to pick up your order at the hotel's front desk. You're also going to see a selection of rare and hard-to-find items, particularly in the mezcal category. And best of all, you're supporting a locally owned business. So whether your weekend plans call for shaking or stirring or a little bit of both, check out the Congress Bottle Shop today at hotelcongress.com.
We're all thinking of a resolution. I want to make it a healthier year.
New year, new you, as they say, Bill. An AZ Fit Kitchen has just rolled out its newest lineup of prepared meals designed for every lifestyle, from keto to vegetarian to even traditional. Now, the model is simple. You can either swing by for grab-and-go meals, or you can order breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the entire week online, and the menus change weekly to keep it kind of fun and fresh. Now, their grab-and-go meals are available at both locations of Tucson Tamale Company, as well as the Northwest Rock Solid Climbing and Fitness on Costco Drive, or you can simply go to azfitkitchen.com to order online for pickup. I don't know about you. I feel healthier already.
Already, buddy boy. All right. Have a great new year. We're off to a great start with Matt Russell. Thanks, Matt.
Happy New Year, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by our friend Chris Stefan, our German friend. And thanks to my longtime assistant, Rosemary Brandt, and everybody here at KVOI, including my engineer and producer, Tom Fairbanks. The entire team here at Bustos Media in Tucson, our three stations now in the portfolio at Bustos Media. All of us wish you a safe and pleasant weekend.